George, I think we should listen.
Go very well.
Never give and never be. This sing-songs us sings this. Never give and never be. This sing-songs us sings this. Never give.
Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 51. On this week's show, we are going to list our top three Disney best hero villain duos. To my left is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Over in a basement in Long Island is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
To his left is Scott. Say hello, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
And in the middle of the woods, I assume in a cabin, is Ryan Wilson. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. Okay, that was Expialidocious from Pogo. You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter for this show at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. Head on over to Facebook and look for the Disney Magic Hour and add yourself to our group. And then if you head on over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review, Melissa will read it at the end of the show, as she will today. You can also go over to Google Play Music into their labyrinthian system and search for Disney Magic Hour. You can listen to us there. And, of course, you can stream, download across all of your platforms, all of the previous shows and current shows, over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Melissa, where can we find us? Over at the Gram Della Insta.
On Instagram, it's simply at Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
Yes.
And I totally stole a couple of your photos recently, so yay.
You've stolen like almost all my photos.
No, not all.
Truth.
No.
That's what I'm talking about. Scott knows. Scott's back.
Yes.
Back again. Scott is back. Tell a friend. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. You know, just it's hot. Hot here.
Shut up.
You don't even know.
You don't know hot. Got nothing. Brian's back.
Yeah. I haven't been gone.
Well, no. Oh, that's right.
You're thinking of the other
I'm thinking of the other show, actually. Yeah. Yeah, that's why. And hey Ryan, what's up, man?
How's it going?
You're the only one I trust.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, I know.
You don't trust me?
Not at all.
Aww.
No.
What if I was on a magic carpet and extended my hand to you?
I would assume that you were dabbling in black magic and murdered somebody in order for that carpet to fly and would not get on that carpet.
She's a thief.
Yes. A thief. Yes, and a thief.
I wouldn't have had to murder someone.
Let's talk about the show this week.
Yes.
We have fun stuff to discuss. We are going to actually list our individual top three favorite hero villain duo. I had a tough time getting it down to three. Obviously we're gonna have an honorable mention thing. Look, any countdown show is not gonna be accurate. That's pretty much the rule of the thumb. So I don't know how you guys tackled this. Like, what did you bring into it? Ryan, did you make this about, you know, like, what was the better movie? What had the better music? Or is it just like, you know what? This is my personal favorites, and maybe it's not the best song, or maybe it's not the best whatever, but these are my personal favorites. Or did you go, like, a little further into, like, the technical aspect of, like, grading stuff?
I tried to get into, like, what was the best pair? Like, where was a strong villain and a strong hero that complemented each other? Because there's so many great movies I was like, oh yeah, that's an awesome villain, and then I thought, oh, but that's a kind of a weak hero, or vice versa. So I tried to find the best pairing that was like, you know, like the power couples.
Yeah, that's kind of where I went too. I was like, Melissa, I know you were talking yesterday and you really were like, I want to figure out what the best songs are and the best this and the best that, and then go from there. Did you do that, or did you eventually just go with what your personal favorites were, or did your personal favorites match up with all the criteria that you wanted to rank it against?
No, I didn't stick with music or anything like that. It was really like Ryan did, like what was the best combo together, like both were equally or, you know, as strong or whatever. It wasn't just because there's quite a few villains that are great, but there's not a good hero to match it with, and mm-hmm. vice versa. So, yeah, I just tried to do the duo together. How strong were they?
Scott, what about you? Did you go about this in like the same manner as well?
Yeah, sort of. I kind of went on it with the aspect of the characters' interactions with each other, because there's some heroes and there's some villains that, you know, a lot of the villains are plotting behind, you know, behind the person's back, or they're doing it, you know, they don't really have interactions with each other. So mm-hmm. I went with more of like the on-screen chemistry between those two characters.
That's interesting, because I have a couple that don't have that, but I also do consider that to be very important. But yeah. Then my favorite thing kind of peeked in a little more. So that's sort of where that went. So I'm looking forward to hearing your answers. Brian, same as everyone else, you kind of had a mix of your loves and what you think just works best, or how'd you go?
Yeah, I kind of went the same as everyone else. I tried to go with this. Like we've said, there's been some way there's really good heroes, but maybe the villain was kind of so-so, or really great villains, but the heroes were not really memorable. So I tried to pair mine up where I think it was a strong villain and a strong hero.
All right, cool. Well, let's get started. How about ladies first? Melissa, why don't you go first?
All right. I'm going to steal everyone's. No. I went with Hades and Hercules because those two together, I feel, are equally as strong, like in terms of like Hades a real threat. He actually does like succeed with his plan of trying to take over Mount Olympus, and it's not till Hercules comes in to stop Hades that, you know, Hades plan goes awry. So I feel like, you know, yeah, Hercules is a demigod and Hades is a god, and the demigod defeats the god, but Hades did defeat all the other gods, so he kind of was strong in that aspect, and then the hero, because he was the true hero, was able to conquer it. So
did that also get a little bonus points for you because you also like the sidekicks a lot? Because that sort of factored into a couple of my picks, maybe.
In coming up with this list, I did think about we should do a top sidekicks, because yes, I do love Pain and Panic. Right, so. And even though they don't really, like, I don't feel like they do much in terms of Hades' plan. If anything, they keep messing up a lot of things. But I just think I like it because Hades is like one of the first villains where it's like,
he's not twisting his mustache in the way that the voice acting is done, is something like I would point out.
Yeah. And he's like evil, but like you can kind of like connect with him in a weird way.
Yeah. I think that all comes down to James Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he really makes that character. You could probably have put a microphone in about 50 other people's faces and they would have done what you would expect from Hades.
Yeah.
You know, if you went in like, you're going to be Hades, you know, and then it would have been God of War or something stupid like that.
Mm-hmm.
But James Woods really, I think, makes that very, very unique, you know, and adds a lot of flavor to that movie, where maybe without Hades, I don't know if that film works as well.
Yeah.
Without that specific type of Hades.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, it needed that. It needed like a levity to it with the other stuff going on because, you know, mythology is silly when you really – it's great. It's fun, but it's silly.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. Did anyone else have that on their list?
No.
Nope.
I thought about it, but I'm like, you know what? I guarantee you Melissa will put that on her list, so I can walk away from it.
Exactly, Ryan. That was my same thought.
Okay, cool.
Actually, let's go over to Ryan next. What do you have on your list, good sir?
All right. I was trying to think. Let's see. Do I want to go with the one that's going to steal everybody, or let's go a little bit out of the park? So I went with – you talked about sidekicks earlier. So I went with Syndrome and Mr. Incredible for the – because basically, he, you know, if it hadn't been for Mr. Incredible, if it hadn't been for the fact that he rejected this sidekick who could have brought something to him, we wouldn't have had the villain. And there's that strong interplay of what could have been and how he basically created sidekicks with the family, so like, that interplay was really, really interesting to me.
You know what? I totally forgot about that. That should be on my list.
Yeah,
oh, I assume that was on your list.
I totally blanked, dude. And I was looking at a list of movies, but my eyes must have just like jumped, you know, like while scanning through. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. That is one of my favorites. I love Jason Lee's Syndrome. Yeah. I wish there was more Jason Lee in this world, but I don't know if he's even doing a lot of acting anymore. Well, I'm assuming he'll probably come back for, well, I don't know. Will he?
No.
I don't know. It's a cartoon.
Yeah, they'll find a way. He'll be back.
I mean, I'm an X-Men reader occasionally. If death mattered, that comic would have ended in the 60s. So, but yeah, that would definitely be one of the top ones. Melissa, did anyone else have that one, actually?
No.
I can't believe I didn't. So, yeah, Syndrome Mr. Incredible has got to be up there. And I'm anxious about that second movie, like in a good way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I want to see if they bring back Syndrome in some crazy comic booky sort of way.
Do it like a Spider-Man thing. Do like the Sinister Six. You get the Syndrome Six.
Yeah, that's a nice
idea. Oh, it's not a bad idea, nice actually. Idea. It's a pretty good idea.
But then he wouldn't have learned his lesson about no capes.
What if he doesn't have a cape? What if he does learn his lesson?
That's right.
Ah, there you go. He's in a onesie now. Congratulations.
With footies.
This is your fault.
And a butt flap.
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, okay.
Let's be realistic.
We're civilized here. We're civilized.
Scott, who do you have on your hero villain?
Mine is Scar and Simba.
Very nice.
And my pick was...
What movie is that from?
Very funny. Yeah, funny. But as great as villains and heroes' interactions are, when it's a family member, it's all the more sinister to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, the way Scar is just, you know, he basically just destroys this family and, you know, takes over and, you know, says, oh, he's dead. You know,
yeah,
it's
well,
like, no remorse, you know?
He's one of my favorite. Going through this list, I found that the villains I think I like the best are the ones who are more not so much the physical villains, they're the ones that have the, you know, the
cerebral.
Use their minds more cerebral. Yeah. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word at the moment. So yeah, definitely. That's what he is. He's, you know, he's pretty, his plan is pretty.
It's pretty solid.
It's pretty solid. And it's pretty like, it's.
He just hires idiots.
He hires idiots.
Well, that's every villain.
I mean, yeah. I don't know how much better he could have done it.
Kill
Simba. Outsourcing, but.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. He could have. He could have went on a long walk. Maybe found some people, a little networking. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, outside of killing Simba, that was really the only thing that he had the loose end of. And yeah, Jeremy Irons is so good in that too.
And they pulled the same, the hyenas pulled the same.
They did the Maleficent.
They did the Maleficent and they did.
Oh, the Hercules.
The Hercules thing. Yeah,
yeah, with that's right.
We're not going to tell him. We're going to let him think that he's dead.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, never knows. Yeah, that's kind of a common thing that's been reused. Yeah. Brian, what was the first one that popped into your head for hero villain?
It would be Dave Foley and Kevin Spacey as Flick and Hopper from Bug's Life.
Wow. Nice. Okay.
Nice.
Yes.
So what stood out to you for that duo?
Flick is the quintessential screw up who can never do anything right, but he's got the good heart. And then he finally... You know, he's the one that you think is weak all along. He's always weak, but he's at the end, he turns out to be the really strong one who lets the ants, you know, leads the ants to see that they are much stronger than they believe they are. And Hopper is just one of the best bad guys that they've had. When we were talking about villains, I guess he skipped my mind when we did the villains episode. But then when I was looking for this, I was like, oh no, he's... Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he's really good, especially that speech when they're at the bar, I guess, and they're giving out those whatever those pellets were.
Dew, wasn't it just like drops of dew or something like
drops
that?
Of dew. Yeah, it was like a hard. It was like a seed or something.
Okay,
because he lets the one out and he throws it at the grasshoppers, right?
Okay. Well, and, Hopper was
Yeah, well, all the other bugs with him, they were all the grasshoppers.
Okay.
And, you know, he's like, does that hurt? No. Does that hurt? No. And then he lets them all down. And he's like, you know, you let one bug stand up to you, and it's nothing. But then that puts the seed, that puts the idea in the other bug's heads.
Ah,
and
seed.
Next thing you know, and it's just, he's a great villain and Flick is a great hero. And they, you know, that's one to me that I think is overlooked. I think that movie, like,
it's overlooked. It is. It's a very actually, a lot of people refer to that in the earlier days before, like, the Cars 2 Cloud. They would refer to that as the weakest Pixar film for a long time. And I never really agreed with that.
Yeah, no,
I mean, it, yeah, okay. It may not be as great as Toy Story, but I don't think that it should earn a weak a label as well. And of course, if I, whatever opportunity I get to plug this movie, I will. If you're ever interested in seeing a 3.5 hour version of Bug's Life that's black and white with Japanese people, you should really check out the movie that's based off, and that is the incredible classic by Akira Kurosawa, Seven Samurai. It's where they stole it. Homaged is where it is. The first duo that came up for myself was a more recent duo, Tiana and Dr. Facilier. This is going more towards, you know, where Brian was saying with the cerebral assassin, what, Triple H? That kind of villain. And there was a lot of things that went for me in this. You know, Tiana is very driven, but she's also very flawed because she doesn't understand that there's more to life than just working for what you want. You have to actually enjoy that which you then get. And Facilier is somebody who doesn't want to work for anything that he wants. And in the end, that's the thing that undoes him as well. So I like that they're a good foil to each other. They don't have a lot of interaction. Now, Scott, this is going towards you. To my memory, they only interact in the first and last time that they interact. Yeah. Is when she, you know, she eventually breaks the vial and whatnot. But that sequence of him almost really like playing the role of the devil in tempting her into like sloth almost, you know, mm-hmm. just say this and you can have everything you want. You know, you just have to, you know, give up everything, you know, all the other stuff. I thought it was great. And I like that she considers it, even only for a split second. She considers it because it is an alluring path. It's a very good path. And Facilier also actually kills somebody. Mm-hmm. Granted, it was a bug, but he does murder one of our hero's companions, you know, on screen and stuff, which you don't get that a lot in a Disney film, or they would be okay at the end. And I mean, you sort of get the okay thing as he becomes a star, because that's whatever.
That's how lightning bugs work.
That's how lightning bugs happen, kids. Yep. That's not the way lightning bugs
science.
Happen. Yeah, that's science.
Nailed it.
But yeah, I love their confrontation. It was more mental chess. And then Facilier has, in my opinion, one of the best villain songs ever with People on the Other Side. Tiana has a number of great hero songs. You know, Almost There, I guess, would kind of be her top one, her solo one. And I also think it's one of the most underrated films. So the first one that I wanted on my list was Tiana and Dr. Facilier, who you can now see on the main stage at Magic Kingdom for, what's the name of that? Friendship Fair?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? That doesn't sound right. That sounds like I made it up.
No, it is. It's like the
is that really it?
Yeah, it's the Royal Friendship Fair or something.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, for anyone who is wondering, Lewis is back in that, along with almost all the other alligators that were kind of scurried away for a short amount of time on property, except to my knowledge, the ones in Land, Living with the Land.
So, the animatronic ones, not the
real
ones.
Yeah, the animatronic ones. Yeah, the baby, like the real ones are there. Because they were like, where are we going to put these? Like, I have no idea. But the animatronic, they were like, well, we can just take that out for a little while. Yeah. Or maybe it was just getting worked on and it was just dumb timing. Who knows? So that would be mine. Next is Melissa.
Yes.
Melissa.
I like how our first round, like all of our heroes and villains, like they were, I guess, like the more quote unquote, like updated ones. Because after you get to a certain point, like the heroes in the beginning, I feel like they're very flat. You know, if you have a really interesting villain, the hero's not that interesting, or vice versa. So I feel like for a little bit, we had to kind of pick from the newer stuff. Speaking of that, I'm going to go with my next favorite, Aladdin and Jafar.
Did you say one of the newer ones and then follow it up with Aladdin and Jafar?
Well, it's newer in terms of, like, it's not the 30s. Because, like, we all know.
It was after she was born. So yeah. That's newer.
So I know it, right? No. No, I meant, like, well, because everybody knows Maleficent, Sleeping Beauty. Like, that's my favorite. But Prince Philip is flat. He has no character arc. We discussed this last time. You know, like, he's a great, like.
It's a great battle scene.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And Maleficent's awesome, but, like, I don't feel like her counterpart is awesome. So, like, I feel like that with a lot of the earlier ones. Like, we talked about, like, the Wicked Queen, the Evil Queen in Snow White was really great. But, like, I don't know. I don't know who she pairs with.
Okay, so?
So, Aladdin and Jafar is my next one. Again, you have a very dynamic character arc with Aladdin, you know, going from the riffraff who thinks he just wants to be rich and marry a princess to actually...
He had it right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Doesn't matter how rich you are.
Tell that to poor people.
Well.
get you real? I'm sorry. Was that a little...
Yeah. It's supposed to be a happy podcast. Come on now. but it, actually, these two, I feel like they have one of the best, like, songs themselves. Like, Jafar's reprise, or well, Prince Ali's reprise is Jafar's song, and I love, like, that little short thing, but it's really great.
Yeah, no, that's a, I really do like that a lot. I love it when films do that, or plays, or whatever.
And, yeah, their interaction is great. I love, you know, Jafar's manipulation of everything. The way that he works his, you know, wishes to kind of become the ultimate thing. And, you know, but Aladdin tricks him into having to live in a tiny little living space. So
yeah, more of like that mental play that we were talking about. You know, Jafar's a really... For being definitely the smartest person in the movie, I don't think you can argue that. Even though he doesn't win in the end, he is the smartest person in the movie. But the one time that he gets outwitted, it buries him. And it's because of his ego.
Yeah.
You know, he lets his ego get the better of him.
Pride comes before a fall.
No.
Do you think, though, he still kind of wins because he's not, like, dead? Because they do kind of kill off a lot of villains, and he's not really dead. And he can't really die.
I'll say this. This is always something that I had seen people point out. Ryan, tell me if you would agree with this. Jafar sort of runs the city when we start that movie. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
All the guards say that we work for Jafar, this and that.
Right. Yeah, they put Aladdin in the jail cell with Jafar. Whether they knew it was Jafar or not, it was obviously his order that put him there.
That city looks like it's run pretty well. Everything's clean. The people who are stealing things, like our hero in quotes, they are dealt with quickly and violently. I don't know. Jafar seemed pretty good at being the Sultan sit-in because Sultan Keem seemed kind of dumb. And also, you know, we're kind of shown that, like, he's been using the staff for a long time. So you can assume that for the most part, Jafar's running that city. Is he really a villain?
Yeah, because there's poor people.
I think he is the villain. I think it is that he wants the unlimited power. Not like he's not satisfied with just being able to be like the puppet master. He wants to have it all in his name, so it's not good enough for him. So you have that pride piece there.
All right. So Ryan Wilson saying ambition and wanting to rise up in the world, not good. Not good. That's what I got out of that.
I live in a nonprofit world. What do you want from me?
That's a good point. Ryan, what do you have on your list next, actually?
All right, I stepped outside of animated features and went after Who Framed Roger Rabbit with Eddie Valiant and with Judge Doom. I think there's a lot, you know, yes, Roger Rabbit's in the title and, you know, he's kind of the patsy that's running around the whole movie. But it's really, you know, if we're talking about justice and one's supposed to represent justice and the other one is really just, you know, at his lowest point and he has to come back. And even though the things he hates that, you know, he doesn't want to work in Toontown. He's taking this case. He's doing his job. He's doing his best. And to confront the person who really has brought him to this lowest point in his life and to not, you know, use that as his catalyst to go back into those dark ways and to redeem himself a little bit, I think is just great pairing there.
Christopher Lloyd is so good in that role.
So good.
That is so creepy.
That voice at the end is
that scarred me with the eyes and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember when that thing was in Hollywood Studios, you could, like, lie under the bulldozer.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Does anyone else have a memory of hearing Bob Hoskins not talk like Eddie Valiant for the first time and having your head almost explode? Because as growing up, I thought that was how the man talked.
Oh, but
it was
got, like,
Mario
really
Brothers, and it was
accent,
that.
Right?
So, yeah, meanwhile, he's, like, really British. I remember that. That threw me for a heavy loop. I'm really surprised that they've never made a honest attempt at going back to the Roger Rabbit well. It worked. I mean, I know that Warner Brothers and Disney working together would be, like, a nightmare to do again. But I'm really surprised. There seems to be a lot of money to be made off that.
Do you think they have enough, like, animated IPs now, though, that they could do something like that and not worry about, like, having to bring in Warner Brother characters?
So just have, like, a Disney movie, sort of like a Who Framed Mickey Mouse sort of thing?
But
like,
I mean,
I'm making, like, the simplest of idea, but...
Well, maybe, but I mean, like, they have all the Marvel characters because they have all the animated TV shows, and they have all the other animated TV shows on... the Disney Channel. I feel like they might have a bit of range.
All right. I'll give you a pushback on that. As much as like that would be a fun one, if you wanted to make a wide film, it would be very hard to get the main audience because Marvel and Disney and Star Wars fans are very protective of their brand, and they don't want Disney interfering with their world in a lot of ways.
But they have the TV shows. That's what I'm saying. Like, they have all those characters on TV. They have the Guardians, the Spider-Man.
I understand that. I'm talking about them putting them in a cross thing where, like, Star-Lord is on screen with Mickey Mouse. Like that, I don't know. I would enjoy it. It would be fun. Actually, I would love it as a video game. Hey, Infinity, why don't you make that happen instead of arguing over your stupid licenses? Oh, you're dead now. Dead.
It is dead.
All right, anyways. But yeah, that would be fun. Who Framed Mickey Mouse? Copyright. Film Basement. LLC.
Nope.
We can't do that. Scott!
My next one was Peter Pan and Captain Hook.
Okay.
And the reason being for this one was they're two of the characters that I know that are basically just out to get each other. And it's not for a personal gain. Like, Captain Hook just wants revenge for Peter Pan taking his hand, and Peter Pan just wants to mess with Captain Hook.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just like it's kind of like a Tom and Jerry type thing, and it's very, very, you know, it's one of those things, and they have great chemistry together, and they're like, Captain Hook's one of my favorite villains. I mean, Peter Pan, he's an okay hero, but just the fact that that's their whole purpose in life is... It does it for me.
You know what? They're kind of like the Disney version of Batman and Joker. Like, without the other one wouldn't exist.
Right.
You know? Actually, I remember a long, long time ago, Sideshow Collectibles did a couple of premium formats of Disney villains, and the Captain Hook one that they did was absolutely perfect looking.
Yeah.
And I feel like I really wanted to get it, and I just never did, and now it's, you know, really expensive because it was sold out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hook is like a classic. I mean, yeah. Hook is definitely a classic. Pan Hook is gotta be, if you were to make like an ultimate list, like if we all had to agree, I think that would make at least maybe a top five, just because of how long it's been around and how much those characters have endured over the years.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's not very common that the hero and the villain of a film go to have such longevity, you know, way past the time, the era of its time.
Yeah. So. And like it's like I said before, it's one of those things where like Hook is not looking to better himself or become, you know, whatever.
No, he's just
looking
to make him feel better. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would just make him feel better to kill this boy.
Yeah. So.
It's just a bore. Brian Bogad, speak to me in sweet, dulcet tones of your next hero and villain.
I have to go with Belle and Gaston.
Unbelievable. Tell me more.
Belle is... She's a great... You know, she is a great heroine. She is my favorite of the Disney... I guess princesses, but to me, she's she's the real heroine of the story. And almost all the other, in pretty much all the other Disney movies from that time, the
the guy was kind of the hero, you know?
True.
Right? Like, yeah. Prince Eric and... for Aladdin and all them. Yeah, like, they were all the guys. So she... I mean, Beast, yes, fights him at the end, and Gaston and Cousin, but to me, she's the real hero in that... the heroine in that movie. She's the one who stands up to Gaston. She doesn't, you know, fall under his charms. And Gaston is my favorite villain. I've said it countless times. But what I like about him, but I don't like about him, but about his character, is he's a real manipulator. Yeah. He's great. He uses his standing and his power to basically commit Belle's father to a mental asylum. And then after that doesn't work, then he gets a mob together to storm the Beast's castle. And, you know, that's the scariest part about him. He's not scary in the sense that, you know, he's like that dumb jock almost. That's basically what Gaston is. But that he's scaring now. Like, he's like the type of person now that I would be scared of, if trying to put it in a nice way, you know, like
somebody who manipulates a crowd through fear mongering. Is that what you're getting at?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
He's a manipulator, and he uses he's a good speaker, he's a good orator, and he gets the people behind him. And you know, that's one of my favorite scenes in any Disney movie, is when they are storming Beast Castle. And I'm going to throw in another favorite heroes and villains.
How dare you?
From this movie, and it's the
madness.
It's the furniture versus the mob.
Ah.
Very nice.
Okay, so that whole scene is fantastic. But to me, she's one of the few heroines. There was a couple of other ones that stuck out in my mind, and I'm sure if they don't get mentioned, we'll bring them up during the honorable mentions. But
are they going to be mentioned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. That's why I kind of held off on one, because I figured you were going to talk about it.
Yes.
But yeah, so I'm going to go with Belle and Gaston.
Excellent. Melissa, spelled with a Y. Why? Because you're weird.
No.
Oh, is that how the song goes?
No.
What do you got?
I'm going to go a little outside here, a little outside the box. This is one of the ones...
Inside Out the box?
No.
Oh.
One of the ones that like first came to my head, and I was like, I don't know if you're going to classify it, but... I think we can. I'm going to go with Kuzco and Yzma.
Son of a...
Oh, really?
What are you... What,
come on.
What? No, what? I thought you were going to have somebody else on your list. Okay. No, I...
Are you high? Of course I have Kuzco and Yzma on my list.
But are they on like your honorables or on your list?
No, my list. It's in bold letters and everything.
Oh, I thought you were going to choose someone else. Should I go back?
No, it's done.
Okay.
It's out there already.
Yeah, already put it out there.
Well, you just edited it out.
Unless you got a DeLorean, a bucket full of cocaine, and some petroleum. No.
You planted the seed.
Yeah, it's already over. All right. Let's talk about the greatest duo of all time.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, in the beginning, like, you could argue, like, well, Kuzco is kind of like the villain to Pacha, but... You know, again, through his character arc, he becomes the hero and he defeats Yzma. Again, Sidekick is amazing.
Pacha.
But yeah, I really love these two. And I love, again, that Yzma doesn't like get killed at the end. She just gets turned into a cat.
Yes.
That's my favorite.
This is what I put down for this. Without doubt, the funniest pairing ever.
Yes.
In a Disney film. Maybe in any film. I don't know. That's a jump.
Yeah, their witty banter is like actually witty like banter.
Phenomenal character art for Kuzco. Neither of them have a song, but they don't need one. It may also, if we're doing a best sidekick show, I don't know if you're going to be able to top Pacha and Kronk. I don't care about who walked across what wooden bridge with what characters. That really might be my number one. The back and forth battle at the end is highlighted by the, yay, I'm a llama again. And then the, is that my voice?
Yeah.
Something that everyone has done. But what I really loved about these two is that at the beginning of the film, they're the same character. They're just unaware of it because they're so self-absorbed, they don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. They actually probably could have been so great if they actually worked together to be the two worst people on Earth.
Yeah.
But they never would want to be someone else, you know, with them being the worst person on Earth.
But then she's got like the Jafar syndrome where she's not happy being the puppet master. She wants to be the master. Like when she goes and sits in his chair and tries to, you know.
Yeah.
Who's sitting in my chair?
Yeah, no, that was absolutely on my list. So that was actually my next one. So I'm going to just hopsy over me and I'm going to go to Ryan P. Wilson.
All right. So I started thinking, and I think this is because I've watched one too many documentaries recently. But to me, like the first real supervillain we ever got in literature, to you know, in all kinds of media, was Moriarty. So I went the route of going to the representation that Disney had of that, which is you know, Basil of Baker Street and Professor Radigan in The Great Mouse Detective. I mean, Vincent Price. Mm-hmm. Vincent Price is Radigan.
That was my number one, Ryan, also.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good. At least I wasn't out there all by myself.
No. You know what? And also, we're going to read some people that responded to this question online, and I know for a fact that was one of the responses.
I really got to watch
that. So you just made a lot of people very happy, Ryan.
Yeah,
so,
we'll watch it, man, when we get to it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, not that
eventually.
So go, you know what? I'm going to say right now, I may have seen this movie when I was younger. I don't remember it at all. So, Ryan, what is it that makes this stick out to you beyond the Vincent Price thing, which is kind of huge, but like going beyond Vincent Price?
So you know, you have this, the greatest detective of all time, and he cannot get this one guy. He cannot get Radigan. There's always something that's holding him off, whether it's the, you know, not the right gun, not the right bullet. He gets out of all of these crimes, and he's this, you know, kingpin of crime, and he has this whole network, and it's the one thing that Basil cannot crack is how to bring him down. And so we have all these cases, and we have all these pieces, and this is the time where he's finally going to get him. And so it's that finally, you know, finally overcoming evil, finally getting your man, but that whole, really that first supervillain meeting his match is kind of a great pairing.
I agree with Ryan, definitely. I mean, his song is called The Greatest Criminal Mind, I believe, is his song, Radigan's, Vincent Price singing. So, you know, doesn't get much better than that. Hey. And it's basically the greatest detective against the greatest criminal mind of all time. And it's really, it's good. I know you guys haven't seen it in a long time, but that's a movie I think everybody should watch.
You know, Brian, when you said Vincent Price and singing, I was going to say, man, the Thriller, man.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to whirl back around to me. I'm going to give you one of my very outside the box ones.
No, we had to hear Scott.
Go, Pete. Go.
You were last.
I was last. Go, Pete, I lost the order already.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
You're in the mode. Just go.
It went me, Ryan, Scott, Brian, you.
Okay, Scott, go.
I defer to Pete. No, I'm just kidding. mine was Ariel and Ursula. I love the way that it's kind of like a, like, I feel like Ursula's almost like, you know, like the grandmother type thing, like, oh honey, you know, I'll help you and I'll give you what you want, all you got to do is, you know. And then she just flips the script on her and just, you know, she tries to basically steal her man, which when you throw love into anything, it's going to be bad.
No good.
No good.
In like, in a world where she was still alive, Verna Felton probably would have voiced Ursula.
Yes.
Right? Like this, that would have been something else that like would have fell into her lap,
yeah.
I think.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
You know? Because again, like Scott was saying, like the very grandmotherly sort of thing.
Yeah.
Melissa, am I wrong in assuming this was on your list?
It was. And I like this one because everyone's like, oh, well, Eric killed her. It's like, yeah, but Ariel really defeated her. Ariel made her like have to turn human to try and like interfere, because Ariel was going to get her kiss and her dream. Like she was going to get what she wanted. And in order to kind of keep Ursula on top and keep and get her to win, you know, Ursula had to change her plans and, like, you know, directly interfere. You know, she didn't send her sidekicks in just to interfere. She had to, you know, turn into Vanessa. So I really like this pairing a lot. And Ursula has one of the best, you know, songs.
Yeah, it's a great villain. And how many other villains get killed by a boat?
Yeah, not
doesn't
many.
Happen all the time.
No,
because it's a boat.
It's a crowd.
Yeah, it's not usually something you see very much. Brian, I know that Ryan had your number one. Did you have another one that you wanted to bring up?
I have a few. I'm just looking through my list here.
Tell me, man. Tell me.
Well, this was always a childhood favorite of mine. It was Robin Hood and hold on one sec. I'm sorry.
King John. I had it too.
Prince John, yes. Robin Hood and Robin Hood and Prince John. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to my screen.
Okay.
Okay. I was getting a phone call, and it's set up, and it came through my Mac also, so I had to turn it off. Yeah, I have Prince John and Robin Hood. As a kid, that was like my favorite movie, and I just love how stupid Prince John is. And he's not a good villain. He's just a fun villain. And, you know, same thing with Robin Hood. Like, they're just a fun pairing, I think, the way they interact and stuff. And that was one of my honorable mentions. And the only other one I thought of that I had.
We'll go into the Moors afterwards. Just in case. Because, Melissa, you had that on your list too, though? John?
I had it on my honorables, yeah.
You had it on your honorables. Okay.
Because we only did our three. So we all said our three.
Yes. Well, I haven't said my third. Yeah, I haven't said my third yet. So we only did my third.
Oh, my bad.
So, no, that's okay. That's why, it's okay. My number three, which. I don't know. It might be – if I had to really, like, number these, it might be my number two just because I like them. They don't interact almost at all. Again, going towards what Scott said, it kind of goes against that, which while I agree, it didn't get factored in too much, the interaction thing, is Mulan and Shan Yu was, I just think, one of the best hero-villain combos ever because they're both really effective.
Yeah.
Mulan is my favorite Disney hero ever. That's it. She's the top of the list. And Shan Yu has one of the best intros. Mm. The opening of that film, it cold opens like it's a Bond film.
Yeah, it does.
Which
is,
you know, very, very not Disney-like. And his entrance is very creepy. He's got a great creepy look. He's physically imposing. The voice work is phenomenal. And his plan really sort of works, if not for one errant firework. Is really sort of, you know, what undoes him. And then Mulan goes on, you know, a kill spree. You know, she's got like a 55-person kill spree, which is good. I mean, it's good. It's a good streak. It's a good combo score. Again, they don't interact much, but I love the fact that throughout the entire film, they are one step behind the other.
Mm. Yeah.
They may not know it in a couple of spots, but they are breathing right down the other's neck, and then it all culminates in their big showdown at the end of the film where, you know, Mulan is the clear hero. She gets help from others, but she is the hero. Like, we've pointed out in a lot of Disney films, the princess only survives because of the help of another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone only survives because of Mulan in this particular one. And
she saves China.
Yeah, and I don't know. I haven't heard much going forward or new news versus the live action Mulan. It was something that was spoken about, that was said, and I haven't heard anything about it since, but I really hope that they go through with it. You know, it also – just the voice work on Mulan is obviously one of my favorites. Lea Salonga and Ming-Na Wen is just a – I mean, hello. That's a combo. So, yeah, my number one falls to my number one Disney hero and one of my favorite visual villains, and he also, like, kills people. I like when a villain is effective.
Yeah.
So my number one really – yeah, I guess so. It is really my number one is Mulan and Shan Yu. You want to move it over to honorable mentions?
Sure.
All right. Who wants to go first? Does anyone want to go first?
I only have one.
Scott, why don't you go first?
The only reason this didn't really make my list was because, one, it's not recognized as a Disney movie right away, and two, they're both kind of villains, but mine is Oogie Boogie and Jack.
Oh, nice. No, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I
I only didn't have it on my list because I left it for you. I assumed you were going to be all over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't. I didn't want to, you know, have to say before I had made my selection that I wasn't sure, because most people don't really see that as a Disney film.
Well,
you know, when they first think about it.
Those people are fools.
Well, yeah.
But, those people are fools.
I mean, it they together, like when they're on screen together, that's my favorite. You know, they have such good chemistry. But I guess it's because they're both similar. You know what I mean? They're both like in a similar setting.
Yeah.
They're both trying to reach beyond their means too.
Yes.
Right? You know, yeah. Jack just fails more spectacularly almost in front of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just like, it's cool too, because in the movie, Jack is like, you know, revered as being the scariest person. But then when somebody mentions Oogie Boogie, they're like, oh, you know, that's, you know, he's the baddest one. It's like a competition almost between them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they can't let Boogie Woogie out.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Yeah, yeah. They can't even let him out. And his song is awesome.
Yeah.
Highlight of that movie, in my opinion, is the Oogie Boogie song. If I remember correctly, that was the same cat who voiced Audrey 2 in Little Shop of Horrors. I might be wrong. I'm probably wrong. You know what? I think I'm almost 100% wrong. They're close. They sound like each other. Ryan, who did you have as a honorable mention on your list?
I pulled The Hunchback and Claude Frollo just for the fact of in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, you have – it's in the song right there in the beginning. It's like, who is the monster? Who is the man? Like, he's supposed to be the one who's upholding the law. He's supposed to be this you know, holier-than-thou kind of figure. And he's truly a monster, and you have this, you know, this disfigured individual who's just trying to make his way through the world. And so that coming into his own and owning his, you know, owning his place, and the other ones are coming to his demons, and you know, they've been kind of father and son the whole way, and you know, but he makes them call him master, and it's just, and they have some great interactions with, you know, out there and the music. So it's one of those pieces that it was almost there, but yeah, it's definitely an honorable mention.
Never seen it. One of my blind spots. Never seen Hunchback.
I've seen it. I just didn't like it. I remember not liking it because the girl doesn't like the guy doesn't get the girl, and I was just like, no, this is silly.
Oh, so you watched it when you were really young, then?
Well, yeah, I know.
Maybe you would like it more. Maybe you find something different to appreciate from it.
Maybe.
And that was why I went to honorable mention, because those two are great. It's the rest of it that kind of just starts to fall off.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. You know, everyone is – I remember multiple times I have heard that stage play, though, is incredibly popular overseas. And they have discussed bringing it over to the U.S. and it just never seems to make it, because I don't know. Maybe they do some research and it's like, you know what? The interest isn't here stateside, but it is overseas. It's an interesting conundrum that they have with that.
They should bring Tarzan back, though.
They should not bring Tarzan back. Oh, my God. It wasn't good.
It was very good.
No, it wasn't. You're out of your mind. There's a reason it was only on Broadway for like 3 months. You didn't love it. Stop yourself.
I loved it.
Okay. Wait. So would you say you liked Les Mis?
I like Les Mis, yeah.
You don't love Les Mis.
It's sad.
You don't love Les Mis.
It's really sad.
Do you love Hamilton?
I haven't seen it. I've only listened to it.
Oh, jeez, never mind. This is stupid. Unbelievable.
It's getting out of hand.
A pointless conversation I was going to get into. Brian?
What the? Close. I don't even know who you melted my name with there.
You're trying to say, please, Brian, help me.
Yes. Like, there we go. I'll go with that. Brian, you said you had a couple of extra honorable mentions, right?
Well, I did, and I said the Robin Hood one, and then I had the Oogie Boogie and Jack. So,
all right. Well, I have one,
and I had other ones that were already mentioned as honorable mentions, also.
Yeah,
I shall bring up mine. That of which, maybe it was the most stretching one. Okay, all right. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Drum roll.
Chernabog and the Light of Day.
Boo.
I tried to find a way to make that.
That was the only way I could figure it out. I will say, though, it is the only fight in all of the Disney films that at the end of it, I go to tears. So it's got to count for something. Yeah, I was trying to figure out a good way of framing it, because I got to get Chernabog into every show if I possibly can. But that was the only way I could think of it. And it still sounds silly, but I don't care.
You are silly.
Oh, the ultimate battle is a battle between light and dark.
I do have one other one.
So you're a liar now?
No, I just thought of it because whatever. I won't mention it now.
No. You already.
No. It's fine.
No. You have to share with the class now. Did you bring gum for everybody?
It's from the. It's the Muppets versus Tex Richmond.
Oh God.
Okay,
that's pretty good.
That rap is pretty good.
The rap is pretty good.
And the bear next to him is pretty good.
I love the maniacal laugh.
Yes. I also enjoy the idea that he just keeps those people in a closet.
Yes.
For when he busts into a rap.
It's busting into a rap.
Just, you know, in case. Melissa?
Yes.
And then Scott, I believe you, did you have your hand up, or were you doing a hallelujah?
Let's do that for Brian because he's being rude.
Ah!
I am
rude. You. You. Speak, woman. Speak. Yes.
Here comes the rest of the Disney catalog by Melissa.
I only have two more that haven't been mentioned.
You can get one more, and then we're going to go to somebody else, and you can come back to you.
Everybody else is gone.
No. I still have another one.
No.
But what's your favorite?
I have the ultimate one.
I do.
Speak! Damn it.
It's Woody versus Lotso in Toy Story 2.
Sweet Lotso.
I love him. He's adorable, but he's so devious and just a villain, and I love it. And I love that, you know, that whole end scene, you know, really does tug at your heartstrings, but of course, good conquers.
Yeah. I wish they would bring Lotso back in some faction. Like a good-natured Lotso. You know, like one of the good-natured Lotsos would be really, really fun to bring into the mix.
Well, he's not dead, though. He's just strapped on the front of the truck.
But he would still be the evil Lotso.
Well, maybe he learned his lesson after going through the inferno.
I don't know. He doesn't seem like he would, but you never know.
Maybe.
You never know. But more Ned Beatty is always welcomed. Otis Berg? Nothing? Yeah. All right. That was a Superman reference. You know what? Don't worry about it. Ryan Wilson, do you have another one? That could top the brilliance of Chernabog and the light?
I don't. Everything off I had has already been picked, unless you really wanted to go back and do like Peg Leg Pete and Mickey. But otherwise, that's about all you got.
Actually, not a bad one. I have one more that I just...
What about Davy Crockett?
Brian, what? Davy Crockett and my patience.
Okay, I'm sorry.
River the Alamo.
The only one I want to say, it's really just a joke one, but... One of the greatest villain hero dash-ups is Mr. Toad versus Mr. Toad. He is really his own best enemy, and he is phenomenal at screwing everything up and then kind of fixing things and then screwing everything up. Absolutely love Mr. Toad. I had to just bring him up.
When you have multiple personalities, it makes it easy to be a villain against yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point. Strong point. You had one more, Melissa?
I do.
Okay. Is this going to be better than everything that ever happened?
I don't know about that. But it does culminate in one of the best ultimate old man fights.
All right. Yeah, it's good.
Oh.
Carl Fredrickson and Charles Muntz.
Yes.
I love that.
That is a great
one. They both raise it up and then hurt their backs.
Yeah. The old man fight is kind of amazing. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Because I got to carry
you.
Like
if you and I went, were going at that.
Yeah, pretty much. Right now it would be just a lot of just writhing in pain.
Right.
Yeah. And then after like 3 minutes, be like, do you want to just get dinner? Right. And that's it. And we just order in too, because I don't want to drive.
Yeah, no, I don't want to go anywhere.
Let's go over to the Facebook page. The page of faces. Evil thing.
That would be a much better name for it. The Page of Faces.
Page of Faces. Oh my God.
It would be great.
A huge mistake. I got to find the post because we had some other things pop up on the reading. Alrighty then. Wow, we have quite a few comments. Lance Stalls throws in Peter Pan, Captain Hook, as we said earlier, so that's a good one. Craig Ferguson. The real Craig Ferguson?
What?
He said Basil of Baker Street and Professor Radigan as well. Love that.
Good man.
Making note of Vincent Price being involved, so that's great. Teresa Carlson says Ursula and Ariel. Ursula's maturity and conniving personality plays perfectly against Ariel's innocence. Also, your perfectly plays perfect. What's that called? Lots of letters with the same?
Alliteration.
Your alliteration was brilliant. Alec Rogers wants to add in Tiana and Dr. Facilier, as I said earlier, so your huzzah to you, sir. Anthony Famai says one that we did not say, and that is Lady Tremaine and Cinderella. Let me read the reasons why. The evil way she gets, the evil way she treats the poor girl who did nothing wrong is beyond horrible. Throw in Anastasia and Drizella as sidekicks, and the fact that Cinderella overcomes the House of Evil makes it by far my favorite of the classic Age of Disney films.
House of Evil makes it sound really, really bad too.
Yeah,
I
House
like
of
that.
Evil's good. That could be a movie also.
It's the next Disney film.
It's the next Disney film. It's the next Disney park. Park of Evil. That was the
I
villain's park.
Go
that
there.
Went. Yeah, yeah, I would too. Mike Bernardin not following the rules because he's a rebel. Goes with sidekick candidates Timon and Pumbaa versus the hyenas. Good work. Brenda Bachman is the smartest of the crew so far with Yzma and Krunk, Kuzco and Pacha. Of course. Tops. Alec Rogers asks, who is Maleficent's antagonist? I'd say the fairies or even Prince Philip before Aurora. Yeah, that's kind of the
it's
thing.
It's the
with
fairies
that.
Versus common sense in Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah,
that's really
the main. That is the main hill to climb. Yeah.
I think Maleficent was really mad with the king. Like, is that the villain? Like, is that the villain hero combo? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
well, she was mad at him until Meriwether kind of rubbed her nose in it. Because she was kind of like, you didn't invite me. Oh, it was an oversight. Don't worry about. And she said it was an, it's okay. And she didn't turn around until Meriwether.
She's
going to
still do that.
Meriwether got fired up.
God, I don't get it. Caitlin or Catlin? Caitlin Swanson says Scar and Simba will always be my favorite duo. Not her favorite individual characters, but such a great history and dynamic together. And of course, if you didn't know, I'll read Hamlet. You also would enjoy that. It's literally just that's what Lion King was based off of. Laura Lang brings in one that no one brought up, and actually I'm really surprised that this wasn't on someone's list.
I did think of it.
Merlin and Madame Mim.
I love them.
A good one. Not on screen very much together. Don't have a whole lot, but that duel is really, really fun.
Yeah, the magic.
Yeah. Elise Kuss says, I apologize if that's wrong, says Aladdin and Jafar. So more votes than JT Landry says Gaston and Belle and Beast. See, I like that he includes Beast in that because it is sort of a 2-on-1 there because LeFou
is
useless.
But it's not until just the end. Like the only interaction they have is that fight at the end.
Yes.
You know.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. I like the mental games between Belle and Gaston more.
You like your Lex Luthors. I gotcha.
Yes, yes.
Ed Buskirk. He is on the same road as I was where he put down Mr. Toad versus, quote, mania for fads. It does count. Yes.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
If not, I will go with Dalmatians versus Cruella. She actually kills puppies. It's a good point. Anthony Flacco with a great one. Bambi versus Man. Now, they never have, like, a face-off, but Man is the cause of all of Bambi's problems.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one. That's a really good one. Salgado. What's up, man? He's right up. I mean, this is why we're related. Kuzco and Yzma, of course. Great. Love to see that again. Kelsey Cohen also went off the animation. Wow.
The
animation track. That was a word. And loves Captain Barbossa and Jack Sparrow, the first movie. Oh.
I thought that one.
Yeah.
But you have to limit it to the first one because otherwise it just gets too convoluted.
Exactly. Yeah, no, yeah. Let's just imagine the other one just didn't happen at this point. But absolutely, like that first one, that has my favorite Jack Sparrow moment in that. Again, I think I've said this once before in the thing. I like that Jack in the first movie is acting dumb, but he's really smart.
Yeah.
And it really shows off in two particular spots. One where Will tells him, like, they're following us when they steal the boat. And he has that sly smile on his face because he knows exactly what he's doing. And the second is when he pulls the trigger on Barbossa and knows it's going to kill him. He doesn't have any of that stupid half smiley look on his face, the swishiness that he brings into that role.
Yeah.
He has a flat out, I just killed you look. And I think it's really, really great. Melissa, I'm sorry, you were saying something?
Nope.
Okay, I apologize. Arthur Mills validates my insanity. Chernabog versus church bells. Absolutely, sir.
Oh, Sarah, she's my favorite right now.
Sarah.
Brian, you're going to love her.
Sarah may win.
If it's Pocahontas, I'm destroying my set over here.
Miko versus Percy.
Oh.
Ah, right down the gullet.
He does steal all those cherries.
And then Jesus. And Susie also throws her hat in the ring with Cruella against practically everyone. Which is true. She's kind of a one-man army in that one. One woman army. Great responses. Great responses. Melissa.
Yes, sir.
Read me the reviews and always R.
I can't roll do that.
Only on R's.
I cannot.
Nah.
I had a really difficult time in Spanish because of that. Also, I can't read the title of this first one because I'm pretty sure it's in another language.
Just read it backwards. Nah,
it's backwards. I got it. Ah. That was smart. That was very smart.
Oh, who is this? Oh, you win the prizes, Owen Fisher. Please tell us in reverse.
I just realized that. That's really good.
That's really great.
All right. 5 stars for you too, sir. An absolute top Disney podcast without a doubt. These people really know their stuff. They have fun. They discuss topics like adults occasionally with adult language, which I don't mind. And they're not afraid to criticize Disney when they think there has been a mistake, which is something that is missing quite a bit in many other Disney podcasts. They also love to interact on social media. Finally, that their Disney Movie Hour episodes will give you at least 60 to 70% of your daily dose of nostalgia, if not more. They review new movies with special episodes as well, but my favorite are the ones where they review old movies, which I watched growing up. Also, Melissa has an awesome voice to listen to. Thank you. And the other ones have okay voices, too.
That's not really in there, though.
It is.
No, I'm sure it is.
It's 100%.
I don't believe it.
You go read it. And we also have one from NY Hockey Girl 16.
Ah, hockey. I like hockey.
And it's a girl, so it's even better. Best podcast ever. I've been looking for a podcast to listen to on my hour-long commute to work each day. I'm sorry.
She's from New York.
I know that. Yeah, I know.
That's driving 3 miles is an hour long commute.
Yeah, I know. At least my hour long commute is like 30 something miles. I can at least validate that. I'm sorry. Says, I've been looking for a podcast to listen to on my hour-long commute to work each day. I decided to listen to this one on the recommendation of my sister, good sister, and it is fantastic. I now look forward to the long drive to catch up on the old episodes that have been recorded. These guys are informative, funny, and true fans of Disney. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Now, that was a hell of a pair of reviews right there. That was really good. Thank you guys so much for listening. And actually, on that last review, I love it that she found the show because her sister recommended it. That would be so great. If you could recommend this show to one person every week or month, it's fine. One person every month. It would be absolutely fantastic, and it would really help in us growing this show even more. We have some really fun stuff coming up. Next week, we're going to have an interview with somebody, and, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a guest in the house.
Yep.
That we will, we'll get a chance to sit down and talk with, so it'll be really fun.
We'll eventually make it to Swiss Family Robinson.
We will make it to Swiss Family Robinson. Just to give everyone a heads up,
I
might be gone for 2 weeks, but we will have an extra show in the canon. So there might be a week coming up where I'm not present, but I'm gonna show Melissa how to do things on the recording.
Oh, I have to do it without you?
Maybe. Yeah, why not?
Oh, I just thought we'd record it early.
Look, what if,
the magic, and then they would never know you were gone.
What if I get killed by a dragon?
Or by me.
Or by you, yeah.
I didn't say anything.
You've got to keep the show going, and then Columbo will come in and find you out, because you'll be sloppy.
Nope.
Remember, guys, every Columbo episode would never get a conviction if the guy doesn't just say that he did it at the end. You've got to have actual evidence, not just theories in a paper bag. Insane. I love that show, though.
We also do have, we've been putting up our Mouse Telegram posts again. We've got our news segment. I try and wrap up the week in news, in Disney news, in just one concise little page. So that kind of helps if you are not on a bajillion social medias getting all the notifications all week. Just put it up there once for you. And Pete has a nice Epcot one up there.
Yeah, I put up an Epcot article discussing the future of that, kind of a sister article to the show that we did about Future World, in where I delve into the Guardians of the Galaxy thing a little bit more, as that seems to be coming up more often in conversation. So if you want to head on over to lastgenpodcast.com, LAST GENpodcast.com. You will find the portals for all that stuff. And for the written material, it is the Mouse Telegram. Yeah. And you can head on over into there.
That's
and
then great artwork.
If ye dare, you can go into the film basement. But if you go into there, understand it's a very adult language laced show. Like, look, we toyed with it a little bit on this one. And we, you know, like, if it ever comes up, great. I don't really mind. But Film Basement is the George Carlin of our shows. So body just, notes. Yeah, know that before you walk into that door, because ain't no turning back. Ryan Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Thank you once again so much for joining us on the show. I love having you on it. I can't wait to talk about the Swiss and the Robinson and the house of cannibals that they live in. That's how I interpret it.
Always a pleasure.
Where can everyone find you on the internet as well?
It is the Main Street Gazette, mainstgazette.com. It's Main ST Gazette on Twitter and Instagram. And if you search for Main Street Gazette out on Facebook, you can find us there.
Yeah, and absolutely, guys, you got to go visit that site. Ryan works really hard on it, and the stuff that he puts up is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It is the place – I don't read a lot of – actually, I don't read Disney stuff except park blog stuff. I don't, like, read other sites because I just genuinely don't like them. But I read Main Street Gazette every day, actually. So – and you should too. So that would be a huge suggestion from me. Till then, though, let's start saying goodnight. And right now, you are listening to Expialidocious by Pogo. You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. Over on Facebook, search for Disney Magic Hour and you can add yourself to our group. You can also add your friends to that group if you already are in that group. And you should do that. That would be really, really fun. Over on iTunes, if you search for us and find us in the podcast section and drop a 5-star review, you will have the lovely Melissa read it, obviously without rolling any R's. But, you know, hey, what can you do? Heading on over to Google Play Music, if you head into their podcast section, search for Disney Magic Hour. You can find us there, too. And, of course, all of our previous episodes up for download and stream over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Melissa, where can they find the pictures?
The pictures at Disney Magic Hour Podcast on Instagram.
Yes. And I really like the Instagram account. I'm really happy that you pushed me to do that. That was a good idea.
It's a lot of fun, and a lot of people are getting us likes and comments, and I like, you know, interacting with people. I wish you could like people's comments like you can on Facebook. Because I like a lot of comments, but I don't want to just like constantly comment like, I like that, like, because that's weird.
Well, don't say that. Have like a regular response. Be like, thank you for the compliment.
But then that sounds too formal.
You're an insane person. Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Scott.
Say goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo.
Satisfaction.